Our sermon this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Pray with me. God in heaven, thank you for dwelling in our midst. Thank you for calling us together into your household. Do bless now. Do lead us now into paths of righteousness for your name's sake. As we pursue you and as we strive to throw down every speculation, please cultivate us, cultivate in us hearts for battle and not hearts of complacency. Be glorified as we press forward in your name, as our hearts are conformed to the image of your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us have been in a situation where we feel utterly helpless. We feel like there's nothing that we can do. For some of us, it comes next to a hospital bed as we watch a loved one in pain, someone that we can't help or rescue on our own. Last month, there was a family sitting around a swimming pool, a normal setting, something that most of us are familiar with. And as they sat and as they enjoyed the day, they heard a blood-curdling scream from the other end of the pool. And as they looked, there was a body floating just under the surface of the water. Parents scurried and came around, and you can imagine the fear in two parents' hearts as they look and they saw that their own child was being pulled from the water. He wasn't breathing, his heart wasn't beating, and someone came in and pushed in and began to do CPR. They described the scene, and they say that the blood was coming from the boy's nose and his mouth. The father grabbed the phone and frantically called for 911 for help. He was at the end of himself. At the end of himself. There was nothing he could do but cry out for somebody else's help. Oftentimes we forget the dire situation that we are in the church, as we have enemies coming against us, enemies not of flesh and blood, but spiritual enemies coming against us. And this picture is painted here in Ephesians of this battle and of this war. Well, oftentimes we think that the battle and the armor and the story ends there as we take the helmet of salvation. But then it continues on, and there is this message to pray at all times in the Spirit for all the saints. Because the battle that we fight in, it isn't just ours. It isn't just us that's in danger. It's us and our spouses. It's us and our children. It's us and our brothers and our sisters in Christ. It's us and our elders. It's us and our teachers. It's everyone. And this war rages. And there are unseen forces coming against them. And that's why we have this message. That's why it says here in Ephesians to pray at all times in the Spirit, making prayer and supplication for all the saints. But it is as if we have been lured into some kind of complacency. Lured into some place where there's this false safety where we think, you're okay. And I'm okay too. But we're not. We're not. A battle rages. And if we're alert, we look around, we see it happening. So the call for you this morning is for you to stir your hearts. To stir your hearts. To pray at all times for your eternal family. As we go on this journey, we have to look and see what's going on here. And what do we pray for? Well, one of the main things we pray for is for your people to be delivered from evil. And I say your people. In the verse here, it says, for all the saints, that is, all the rescued ones, all the holy ones, those who have been taken from the place of judgment and set into a family. So often we are stirred. We're stirred as someone would come across, come against a brother, a physical brother or a physical sister, or come against our parents. It stirs something in us, and rightly so. And oftentimes those are just members of a family of the flesh. Do you know that you have a stronger bond with anyone who is in Christ than you do with someone who is merely a brother or sister in the flesh? That same frustration or anger or sense of indignation that stirs as someone would come against a brother, a physical brother or a physical sister or your parents, that same indignation should be stirred in us as someone would come against any brother or sister in Christ to oppress them, to gossip against them. And also our hearts should be stirred as we consider this spiritual battle that's going on and is actually looming over all of us, or is actively taking place in our midst. There are battles taking place in Eastvale. There's a war taking place. One of the great burdens of the pastorate and the eldership is this, that there are battles being fought in shadows that none of you can know about. There are hearts, there are souls, there are households that are in danger and afflicted. This war is constantly taking place. So you pray for your people to be delivered from evil. Again, chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You see, this command comes in the context of battle. The context of war. And as some of you in our midst can tell us stories of battle and of war that could turn our stomachs and give us nightmares, even a physical war is just a shadow of the spiritual war that takes place. As hearts are rent asunder, as households are rent, as souls are dragged and held in prison and oppression and sorrow and anxiety and in fear and in isolation, this is the battle that rages in our midst. And this is the battle that we pray against. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 shows us how serious and difficult this is. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, this is our wrestling. And wrestling is a personal thing. It's an intimate thing as someone grabs a hold of you and holds you and tries to hold you on the ground. There's this physical connection. And the spiritual battle is no less. We are locked in close, intimate combat with unseen forces that rage against your very soul and the souls of your brothers and sisters. For our struggle, our wrestling, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we have been rescued, we have been saved, as we look in the Psalms. But that rescue and that salvation is as if humanity was in this river flowing to hell, flowing to eternal damnation. And we have been grabbed and we've been rescued and we've been plucked and drawn from this river and set on the riverbank. And though we're not flowing to hell anymore, a battle rages on the riverbank. Lies are brought. Destruction comes. Schemes come. Deceit comes. Temptations come. And this is the battle that we pray against and we war against now. 1 Peter 5:8 brings the same language as we've been told to be on alert at all times. And Ephesians 6 here, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Do you have sorrow? Do you have pain? Do you have fears? Do you have doubts? You do. I know you do, because I'm a man of like spirit. And I have all these things. And it's important to remember that each of us have these fears, these pains, these sorrows, these doubts. So it is all so important that we pray for one another for this rescue in this place of battle to be delivered from the evil one. Now as we look at this, we continue on. The next call is strive for a heart in constant communion with God. Ephesians 6:18 again, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. There's a whole, Jesus devotes a parable to it in Luke 18:1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. This is about relationship. In Colossians 4:2 it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. This idea of praying all the time, speaking to God all the time. And this is about communion. That is our relationship with God. What is demonstrated in a relationship? How do we see a relationship? Well, between husband and wife, for example. You see them talking. You see them sharing. I used this analogy this past week at White Lake about the relationship with God being like our relationship between husband and wife. The church is called the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ. Scripture talks about knowing God, knowing Him. And that same terminology is used, that the exact same word is used for a husband knowing a wife at intimacy. This morning, Leslie and I, we woke up together. She was the first face I saw. She was the first person I talked to. We ate together this morning. We pray together. We work together. We labor together. We raise our children together. And at night, when we lay our heads down, we'll be the last two people that we see. We know each other. We commune. Your relationship with the Heavenly Father is to be that. As you lay your head down at night, He's the one that will hear your whispers. He hears your very thoughts. He's the completion. He's the perfect relationship. He's the perfect spouse. He's the perfect companion. And although this picture of husband and wife is so often a lovely one, it is simply a shadow compared to a relationship with Christ. The one who will never leave, will never forsake you, this bond will be broken by death. But you have one who has overcome death, who has conquered death. You have a relationship with Christ that is eternal, will never be undone. So the scripture says, pray at all times. Pray at all times. Be in this communion. Be in this place. Speaking to Him. Talking to Him. And this has occurred to me this week. I struggle with gossip. I want to do it, and I don't understand why, or I haven't understood why. If there's some negative thing coming, or there's some negative thing about a person, I find myself wanting to share it for some reason. It's wrong. That's wicked. That's evil. We're not supposed to do that. But as I've worked on this sermon, it occurs to me that every sin is some perversion, some twisting of what is supposed to be. And this desire to share and to talk whenever there's something wrong going on, I believe it's a perversion of our call to pray for one another. If I want to share something bad about someone, now I'm committing to praying for that person, to praying for that situation, to pray for those circumstances. And as I've been trying to practice this, I have been praying at all times for all the saints. Because you're all just as messed up as I am. But that must be our heart. To pray at all times, to pray in all circumstances. So that Christ will be glorified, and so that our people are rescued, that they're saved, that they're brought from their circumstances. Now as we continue on with verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now there's two ways to take this verse. One would be praying from your own spirit. The other would be praying in the Spirit of Christ. And both are a good application. I'm compelled to believe, and we'll take a look at this, that it's in the Spirit of Christ. But there is also the necessity to pray from our own spirit. Isaiah 29:13 says this, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lips, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." It's saying, just going through the motions. Just going through the motions of praying. This past week at White Lake, Bob Allman kept calling on me to pray before each and every meal. And first it was okay, and then it kept happening. And then I started being afraid that I was just going to be rattling off the same words, and I was just going to be saying words, and I wasn't going to be speaking from my heart. And there was that challenge there. And there should be this concern here that we will just pray the same thing. And we will just pray the same words. And they will just be words from our mouths, but not flowing from our hearts. See, we face this danger as if we had a book of prayers. And we'd simply take this book of prayers and simply read someone else's prayer, or read someone else's thoughts, or even just be reading somebody else's poetry. Rather than giving God our heart's cries for one another. Years ago when we were in this setting and there was a bunch of young people around and they had pews and they called on this guy to pray. He was a friend of mine. And he wasn't accustomed to praying out loud at all. And he bowed his head and he panicked. And we looked down, a lady had a bookmark laying on top of her Bible that had a prayer on it. And he's like, nice. So he reads the bookmark as his prayer. And this young man, and everybody's like, wow, whoa, ooh, Rob can really pray. But it was nothing. It was nothing. It was simply empty words. But we see here the words that come from our mouth as we speak to God, it's got to be from our heart. As we pray for one another, it's got to be from our heart. That's why I said at the beginning, we have to cultivate this heart, to work to have this heart that's concerned and cares about other people. There are so many things that go around in our mind and that we replay and that we replay and we replay in our mind that are emptiness, that are movies, or songs, that are mere fiction. They're the things that are not. But our concern ought to be and must be for one another. Love for Christ should be replaying in our mind. The work that He has done should be replaying in our mind. The works He's done in our church history should be replaying in our mind. The works that He's done in our own lives should be replaying in our minds. And this should be cultivating a prayer, a love for Christ. Thoughts of one another should be in our minds. And it should be cultivating a prayer for one another. Now we continue here in verse 18, and as I said, I'm compelled by the idea that this is actually praying in the Holy Spirit. So this move is pray for your people in the Holy Spirit. With all prayers and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And I say that I'm compelled that this is the Holy Spirit, because if we look back one verse, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of Christ. So there's this way that we pray in the Holy Spirit. We get an idea of this and a picture of this in Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is saying that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, can work in us and display for us and move us to pray in the ways that we ought to. Now there's a twisting and a perversion of this doctrine or this passage. People would say that this is praying in tongues. People say that this would be for praying in an unknown language. And that's pretty common in our culture, and it's pretty common in this nation, that this is the idea of praying in an unknown language. But if we look at the verse, it can't be that. Romans 8:26 says that in groanings too deep for words. And even those who speak in tongues say they're praying in words. They're praying in an unknown language. This is something different. This isn't praying in an unknown language. This isn't something else like that. But this is being moved along in such a way where we're literally crying out to God. Literally moved by His Spirit. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is your heart connected to God's heart. This is them touching by way of the Holy Spirit, where you're able to see and know and pray in accordance with His will. That you know what needs to happen. You know what people need. And you pray for them to be rescued. You pray for them to be blessed. You pray for them to be healed. Your people are cared for. Your people are loved. Your people are blessed. But when we're connected to God, your heart's connected and you're asking for the things agreeable to His will. We also find this as we understand Scripture. As we would search the Scripture and see what is supposed to happen in each other's lives. What's supposed to take place. So this isn't just some fantasy realm. This isn't a place where we're left to our own imaginations to pray for one another. But we see in Scripture what God would have for His people. We know Scripture. We know what God would have for His people. And we pray from there. This is taking up the sword of the Spirit in another way. The Word of God. Knowing where people are supposed to be and knowing what they really need. Now we continue in verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. This is saying, watch out. So here I say, watch for your people's needs and pray for them. We work and we labor and we're shoulder to shoulder. Or at least we're meant to be. We ought to be shoulder to shoulder in each other's lives. Hospitality is meant to be practiced. We're supposed to be having people in our homes. And we're supposed to be connected to their hearts. We're supposed to watch and be on the alert to know what people need. To meet with them and learn where their sorrows are. And we have this opportunity, and it's who we're supposed to be and the ways that we're supposed to be in each other's lives. But if we're not in each other's lives, how can we be on the alert? How can we watch for warning signs? How can we know when people are silent if we never try talking to them? How can we know if one another, if we're not in the Word? How can we know if we're not praying? How can we know if we're not loving our wives well, or our husbands well, or our children well? How can we know if we're not washing each other in the Word? We can't know it if we're not in each other's lives. It says here, be alert. Be alert. With all perseverance and all prayer. And to do that, you must be in each other's lives. To know. And to love. And to know how to pray well for each other and for perseverance. As we continue on with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert. And here we have, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Perseverance in the athletic world, this is huge. It doesn't matter if you're a great wrestler if you don't have endurance. It doesn't matter if you're a great football player if you don't have endurance. It doesn't matter if you're a great swimmer if you don't have endurance. It doesn't matter how brightly you shine as a Christian if you don't persevere. Scripture even says the one who perseveres to the end is the one who will be saved. And here this perseverance is brought in the context of prayer. And this perseverance isn't from our own making. It isn't from our own strength. Romans 15:5 says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." This is perseverance that comes from Christ. It's a perseverance that comes from communion with Him. You see, we need Him. We need Him. We need Him to be our strength. We need Him to be our song. We need Him to be our perseverance. 2 Thessalonians 1:4 says, "Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." Are you easily distracted? I am. It's a shiny object and I'm gone. My mind goes this way or my mind goes that way. But we're called to a perseverance here in prayer. If you're distracted and you find out you're distracted, start again. I'm constantly reminded these days of Jacob wrestling with God. How he battled with Him all night long and held on to Him all night long. And even after his hip was broken, or knocked out of joint anyway, he said, "I won't let go until you bless me." See, there's things that each of us are good at. There's things that each of us persevere in. Sin, for one. But what if we were as committed to our prayer as we were to our sin? What if you were as committed to your prayer as you were to your other aimless distractions? What if all those things that you won't let go of, you did, and you grabbed a hold of prayer, and you grabbed a hold of Christ, and you prayed for one another, if you stirred this heart in yourselves by the Word, by God's Spirit, by what He said, and you wouldn't let go until God blessed your brother. You wouldn't let go until God blessed your sister. You wouldn't let go until God blessed this assembly. There has been such perseverance here in Eastvale. Many people have looked at this congregation in past years and asked, why don't they give up? Why don't they quit? Many here could have gone other places and worshipped with their own children. Could have gone other places and worshipped with their grandchildren. But you refused to see a light snuffed out in Eastvale. You refused to let go. May we have that same perseverance and prayer for one another. Loving each other, committed to each other's eternal good. Alert to one another's needs. Alert to one another's sorrows. Stir this heart and be glorified as you pray for one another, for strength, for encouragement, for perseverance, and for God's blessing. Pray with me now. God, our God, thank you for your love and thank you for your truth. Thank you for this great command from your Word. Cause us to look and to see the need and know that we have already been at the end of ourselves, whether we've known it or not. Cause us, O God, to cry out to you without ceasing for the support and for the strength and the perseverance of one another. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.